Once again, Mark Stanton Welch, this is Tools for the Times. This is session block four, session two, Being in Conscious Relationship. This is actually the 23rd of the sessions in the entirety of the 28-session course. This is the 9th of February in the year 2016. As we lean towards that beautiful day of when, the only day when love is celebrated, the 14th on Valentine's Day. What a funny thing. I didn't even realize that was coming up in a sense because, and of course, you know, relationships seem to be looming right now. But it was interesting as I really worked on this one today. I was formulating ideas, doing research and reading and looking for new perspectives on how relations and relationships in the big sense were beginning to show up in these times. And I found some very interesting things. So as you look at the page, if you have it in front of you, there are some very interesting pictures. And you're going to see that relationship is about many, many things. One, we have one of the classic images of the hand of God reaching out where the hand of man receives the gift of life, in a sense, and this time it's the gift of love in that particular picture. I thought that was a relevant image. I love the one with the little boy sitting on the dog's nose. You know, the relationship with the animal world and the world of imagination is a pretty profound element of this dimension that is quickly, you know, phased out of schools in the public sector, at least in the U.S., so it's an interesting thing. This is a combination of that innocence and that awareness and also relationship with the kingdoms and nature there. Down at the bottom, you'll see some pictures of two children in a obviously spirited and loving embrace. That is a precious scene. You'll see the human being gazing off into the panorama of space with the colors that augment the color at the bottom of the page. And then finally, the inner world of the human, where the imprint of life and the chakras and energy bodies is all there. These are all places of relationship. So I'm going to start out with, on the left side you'll see, in the middle space is blank. That'll be filled in at the next session. And by the way, I have to say this about the next session, so I'll let you know right now. We're going to skip next week. My apologies for any inconvenience it may cause you. My daughter is opening up for somebody in Oakland in her music and her band she's putting together. So I have committed to be there, to be a part of that. It is next Tuesday night, so I will be there. We will not be having a class next week. We'll come back the following week and complete this session and then start in the last week of February on the next topic, which I believe is... Well, it's one of those four, one of those three. Don't have it in front of me at the moment. So I'm going to go ahead and return to a song that came off of a CD of mine called Translucent You. Two songs, as a matter of fact, because they talk about being on an island. And as I started to look at relationship and our incarnation into the planet, onto the planet and into it, I began to realize, and in some senses, this is an island in space, and the songs have relevance in terms of what they're about. The additional lyrics linked there, you might hit it, and it'll show you lyrics from last week's class, the last session, so it won't serve you. I have yet to flesh that one out. So in this one, you're just going to have to listen. I will sing it two times through. One of them is called Become Iridescent, and the other is called A Brand New Day. So I'm going to sing those back to back, and then we're going to go ahead and get started with singing four different songs here. They're kind of chants because they repeat themselves. And we're just going to set the tone, the mind tone and the energetic tone of it as we move into the actual details of the session. So, become iridescent. You traveled to this island to return home, and your body, mind, and spirit have stood alone. And bring back the perfect essence
that lies within, and let go of all you hold on to, be whole again. And let the light within you freely shine. Peel the layers to become translucent. We beckon you to fully feel alive. Well, do you want to fully feel alive? Turn home, and your body, mind, and spirit have stood alone to bring back the perfect essence that lies within, and let go of all you hold on to, be whole again. Be whole again. Be whole again.
So I'm not sure if you heard those lyrics, but let me just say, you traveled to this island to return home. Your body, mind, and spirit have stood alone. Bring back the perfect essence that lies within. Let go of all you hold on to. Be whole again. Become iridescent, let the light within you freely shine. Peel the layers to become translucent. We beckon you to fully feel alive. Do you want to fully feel alive? There's a whole lot contained in that particular song, in those few lines, because in a sense it shows the whole of what this course is about, and I didn't even realize it until it showed itself here at the last minute. So I'm hearing a few noises on there, so please make sure that you star sixed, and that will go ahead and mute your side so you can go ahead and freely do whatever you want to do on your side. And when we chant and when we sing, the time lapses won't cause, brain shock or anything. Not because it's a singing issue for anybody. By no means is that the case. So we're in that place. But I want to really, this whole course has been designed to reawaken. And as I said in the beginning, and I've said many, many times, it's about reawakening elements within us that, like old flavor bursts and seed pods within us, that what I'm offering is enough to trigger an opening and a reawakening of an element within you that then delivers very specific information to you as a result of the triggering. Now, it may be related to exactly what we're talking about, or it may be something on a very, very deeper and more profound level, or it may be something that shifts totally off of what the intention was. This is the beauty of what I'm discovering here in our design. It's as if hidden in these cells and the nooks and crannies of the molecular world that is within us, we find the information has been set so lovingly, waiting for the moment in time when it was triggered to release and to reveal to you your own personal pathway. Sure, there are similarities in all the pathways, and sure, there are similarities in the grand intention, but the more I look into this and the more that drops in terms of information that I just run with, the more I'm seeing just the incredible, incredible design, the way it's been set up, what a profound and, in a sense, words cannot describe the time that we're in. As the big picture reveals itself, it's so stunning and so awesome. And all of those words, it pale in capacity in comparison to what really is going on, in my opinion, and also in my growing experience. So I am really delighted that you each have chosen to be a part of this for as long as you have, and for some, for a short time. And I believe tonight we're welcoming someone new to the process, so welcome and happy that you're here. And do know that all of these lessons can be made available simply by someone wanting to have them. And, you know, for the small price of admission, you can get access to all the recordings that you and I have. So if there's someone on your wish list, if there's someone you care enough about to give them information that might really make a difference in their life, I believe it will, then this may be something that's worth gifting. And I think by the end of it all, once it's all done, because quite honestly, you know, the cost of it has paid for all the time that I put into it here, and that's what it was about. And once it is done, then that's when the land of special offers come in. Then it becomes an issue of how important it is to get out to more and more people. And that's in your hands. If you believe that to be the case and you see the value in it, then perhaps that's something you want to do. So that's that. The other song that I wanted to do here is called A Brand New Day. And this is typically one that at the event Translucent You that took place over in Kauai about 22 times when I was doing work with the Hay House author Sonia Choquette and her sister and a bunch of other healers who were assembled to create a very powerful, in retrospect and in experience, for people who chose to be a part of it. And once it was all said and done on the last night when people were getting ready to enter back into their lives, we had one song called A Brand New Day. And it goes something like this. I have come to this island to find paradise, rediscover the me I am, reclaim the power and fully devour the life that's been placed in these hands. I shall become translucent, see all the beauty as memories get washed away. I shall stand on that new shore, divinely reborn, to celebrate. Translucent, translucent, revealing a brand new me. Oh, translucent, translucent, it's a brand new day. It's a brand new day. I have come to this island to find paradise, rediscover the me I am, reclaim my power, fully devour this life that's been placed in these hands. I shall become translucent, see all the beauty as memories get washed away. I will stand on a new shore, divinely reborn, to celebrate. Translucent, translucent, revealing a brand new me. Translucent, translucent, it's a brand new day. It's a brand new day. I'm gonna love, I'm gonna play, I'm gonna dance my life away. I'm gonna love, I'm gonna play, I'm gonna dance my life away. I'm gonna love, I'm gonna play, I'm gonna dance my life away. I'm gonna love, I'm gonna play, I'm gonna dance my life away. Cha cha cha. So I'm finding, personally, that a lot of the information that has come through this course has been a vehicle to really shift the way I respond to life. There's no other way to say it. And it becomes a visible and experiential process where things just don't bother me like they used to. You can call it evolution, you can call it whatever you want, but I think the focused effort of, one, researching this material, putting all these pieces together to find a form that would be in alignment with what I was feeling and being guided to do here, have been very, very, very powerful elements to help me experience things differently. And from the feedback I'm receiving from you guys, I think that is definitely taking place in varying degrees with each of us. So, amen, hallelujah, and all of that. So let's look at some of these songs over here underneath the dog's nose. First one is called So Connected. I used this just over the weekend with a bunch of teenagers in an event that I was doing with them. It goes, you and I are so connected, heart to heart, a golden thread. Through it we can feel love, love, love. Through it we unite as one. Again, you and I are so connected, heart to heart, a golden thread. Through it we can feel love, love, love. Through it we as one. Through it we can feel, we feel love, love, love. Through it we unite as one. The connection that appears to be in simply relationships between human, as expressed in this song, is so much more. When we talk about the heart cords, the golden threads that exist between people that make connection, we're talking about a very validatable source, a validatable process where energetically these cords are set in motion and make connections between us. And along those, information as well as emotion and other elements pass freely between both or however many are involved. This also occurs, honestly, in all forms of relationship, whether it is with the inert or with the alive. So it's very interesting, the design and the revealed information that's starting to come through about the greater expanse. So the next one is really about how we do show up for one another. And I'm going to expand the awareness of this song into how all life shows up for us. When I stand in front of a tree or I witness the sunset like we had tonight here in the Central Coast, I am just so moved and in awe and inspired by it, so much because I let it in and I chose to spend time with it. My witnessing of it was enough to create relationship with it. And that is a powerful thing. So as we claim that we are here for one another, keep the bigger picture in mind. I am here for you, as you are here for me. We are here to serve one another. We repeat those lines. I am here for you, as you are here for me. We are here to serve one another. One another, one another. Together, one another, one another, one another, together, one another. I am here for you, as you are here for me. We are here to serve one another. I am here for you, as you are here for me. We are here to serve one another. One another, one another. Together, one another. One another, one another. Together, one another. And in the process of being in relationship, we'll learn through the course of the program something that you already know, and maybe you practice it. It is the actual process of gratitude and being honored and blessed by the elements in which we exist, this very environment that we live in, and all of its elements. So we go to Blessed Be the Earth on this. Blessed be the earth and all her creatures. Blessed be the earth and all her land. Blessed be the air, sky, and water. Blessed be each woman, child, and man. Blessed be the earth and all her creatures. Blessed be the earth and all her land. Blessed be the air, the sky, and water. Blessed be each woman, child, and man. So it is. And finally, as we just chant our way into and sing our way into the information tonight, we're looking at the nature and love of relationship and love as a possessive element. The old Piscean model, which we'll look at again, is a large player in setting up a particular perspective on the nature of relationship. It comes from the faulty notion that we are limited beings and must be fixed. And it comes from the notion that others have the information, the capacity, etc., that will fix us. So it's a one-down, powerless kind of situation over and over and over again. And when we get into something that feels right for us, correct, or is serving perhaps a pattern or a need, we start to want to possess it. And then, like so many songs that we have grown up with, we begin to hear that our capacity to be authentic or be on our own without that relationship is severely diminished. In fact, it's impossible with some of the songs. So in this perspective, the idea is, and it's a classic New Age thought, and that I love you, I set you free. It really is about if you love something enough to set it free, then it is free then to allow itself to perhaps bring itself back to you, which is a hard one to do when we're feeling like we have been abandoned or we're feeling like we are not whole without this element in our life. So this song addresses that. It goes, I love you, I set you free. I love you, free to be. Whoops, I left that out. All you need, all you seek, all you dream. Here we go. On you I place no limitations. Love cannot be made of chains. A flowing, living evolution. Love won't be contained. I love you, I set you free. I love you, free to be. Free to be all you need, all you need. Seek all you seek, dream all you dream. On you I place no limitation. Love cannot be made of chains. A flowing, living evolution. Love won't be contained. I love you, I set I love you, I set you free. I love you, I set you free. I love you, I set you free. And so it is. a nice beginning with the variations of the theme of relationship. It's a big deal. In fact, it's one of the proving grounds for the reality of who we are and how we show up on this planet. So it's definitely worth looking into, definitely worth beginning to understand from a higher perspective, which has really been the point of the whole course, is to give us back our higher perspective and to, loosen up the impact of the programming that we've all been subjected to for so long. The beauty is it's changing fast. It's changing fast. So over on the right side, I'm going to go ahead and just read through this here, and sometimes I get new inspiration as I read through it, but you can follow along, you can just listen. To be in relationship is to be in conscious connection with another person, place, or thing. It can be active or passive. There is interchange, sharing, and a host of energetic requirements to evolve that relationship if desired. Each of us is in a host of relationships simultaneously. We tend them as we see fit. Some very interesting points in here that are going to be brought up in a little while, so I'm not going to jump on those. Most think of relationship as the interaction between two humans, as in relationship. And as such, we carry history, perceptions, patterns, and expectations about that relationship. Human relationships are typically dysfunctional because of the lack of the big picture understanding of the expansiveness and depth of potential in true relationships. More on that as the whole program unfolds here. In a world that is progressively isolating, judgmental, and fear-producing, it is a major challenge for one to be open to and willing to make connections. Relationships become increasingly temporary and self-serving in a way that has major cost. As we evolve and wake up to a higher vibration dimension, we as a species are becoming closer and more entwined in a growing expanse of oneness. This can be frightening to one who is under the influence of the victimization that often accompanies the old ways of seeing relationship. It is time to wake up and explore the new paradigms of conscious relationship. Let's go. So we look at the topics. We have the nature of relationship. We have purging Piscean and embracing Aquarian elements. We have conscious relationships with energy bodies. We have conscious relationship with self, conscious relationship with others, conscious relationship with nature, conscious relationship with etheric beings and dimensions, conscious relationship with the oneness soup, the care and feeding of relationships, additional activities and resources, and then a few additional applying your awareness of being in conscious relationship elements. So that's the expanse of this complete session in block four, session two. So let's get started on the nature of relationship. To be in relationship is to be connected for now. This can be conscious or unconscious, as in being in relationship with cosmic law or the laws of physics. Even in these, however, one who is aware can see the results of that relationship and consciously make adjustments to impact the nature of its form. See, this is really very critical to start right out here, because too often we are limited in our viewpoint of what a relationship is, and many will see it as a finite experience that is controlled by circumstances beyond their control. And that certain pairings of people or life forms together creates a certain type of relationship that we seem to feel that we are powerless to do something different in. As we shall see, couldn't be farther from the truth. The truth is that we are completely empowered by these opportunities to come together and to see ourselves in new light, and thus make changes and clean and clear out that which no longer serves us. More on that as the lesson unfolds. The forms of relationship are changing because they are expanding through greater awareness, revealing that believed-in limits held in the Piscean times are giving way to a profound, deepening interconnection between all of life and beyond. Make a note of that, all of life and beyond. The contrast is presented in the next topic. For now, let's view characteristics of a conscious relationship. All right, so in no particular order and interweaving all the way through this lengthy list of elements of the new kinds of relationship, is interesting. So let's see what a conscious relationship can be as far as some of the elements. Energetically, a relationship is a magnetic attraction or connection between two elements. The attraction is frequency-based and reflects the inner dimensions, thoughts, beliefs, history of the current you. In other words, we attract that which serves our vibration best to reveal more of our true design to ourselves. Okay, we could stop right there because this, in a sense, is a key to really understanding how and why people come together, or how and why situations come together, or how and why environments come together, why we find ourselves in a certain place, why we are surrounded by certain energies, why we are attracted to certain things, why we turn and look at something that no one else is looking at, or whatever. You can go on and on about the nature of the vibrational and magnetic attraction of elements and frequencies, but it's important to realize that this is very, very foundational as far as that. If you want to look very deep and beyond the magnetic quality, you're looking at expressions of the love vibration. All relationships are based on love, and all relationships come from a frequency of love. Too often that energy of love is masked by personal debris, the woundings of one, and the resulting perceptions, the unwillingness to let go of programs and patternings and decisions made because of previous woundings, and therefore the inability to see beyond the old form, and in using it to mask the new and not seeing the greater picture of it. This is a learned behavior. Of course, it's been learned over thousands of years. Having said that, these are the days of wonder and miracles where things can shift so very quickly that, in a sense, it's like the blink of an eye. So, let's move on. Relationships between two individuals are not accidental. Rather, they are the workings of the higher self to organize your moments with awareness potentials that can help you to clear away old energetic debris and see more clearly the true nature of your I am that I am expressing as you. This is common New Thought rhetoric. And I only say that because you've probably heard it before. By no way do I diminish the importance of what it's saying. Too often when people think things are not accidental and the higher self is at play here and that we brought it to ourselves, they look at it, if it's not the kind of form that they want, they look at it as punishment. And it's easy to slip from this place into feeling like you're a victim of life. And in that victimization, we begin to compromise our powers and too often give up on who we are and allow ourselves to be formed, manipulated, controlled, et cetera, for the sake of survival or for the sake of perpetuating an old model and an old message. Totally understandable. Really no longer useful in the big picture. We move on. Conscious awareness of these two principles will afford you the opportunity to embrace that which is present in the now and to trust it into a connected experience. Do you hear that? Trust it into a connected experience. That is a key element of how to create a connected experience through the action and the activity of trust. Easier said than done, you may say. We'll see. That may be in the next session. Knowing that the person or situation is there for the opening of your new self can be motivational to prompting you to look at the bigger picture to find a greater gift. And I'm not saying that you have to take whatever it comes to you and go, well, this is it, we're going to da-da-da-da. But to look at it, you know, in a bigger picture. And if you find yourself shutting down immediately, there's probably gold in them there hills. There's probably an opportunity to get some real insight. Because at the level where you are functioning and where we have gone through and we're coming into, this is not the land of the squeamish. This is a land where you begin to look at yourself honestly and you go, you know what? I've been fooling myself. I've been duping myself. And I'm not going to beat myself up because I understand that it was a learned behavior. Well, I see it, and I no longer want it to be a part of my life. So now begins the process of changing how I am in the new way. And that is consciously in my hands, and it is also a vehicle that I can ask assistance for, as we established last session, with the guidance that's available to us. You will see that the guidance session and this one weave in and out of one another, because the guidance is, it works because we create relationship with it. And that's why what I've listed are the things that really relate to those elements that are available to us for support. But until we create relationship with them, they are not serving us in their capacity that they can. And we are kind of left drifting away through our moments of living. That which we are having trouble with, that's a missing word, is often that which has the greatest potential for growth in awareness. And I said growth in awareness. That will assist in clearing away the past emotional energetic debris. The conflict in a relationship points us in the direction of our own deeper issues, places where we hide woundings, and the child made decisions about survival. Herein lies great opportunity to create a healing connection. If we begin to see that what, and I forgot to put this in, but it has to do with the notion of pain and the idea that so many people don't want to take risks because they're afraid of pain. Pain is an interesting thing used in this context. In its raw form, pain typically refers to physical pain that is caused by a compromise of the physical tissue. The kind of pain people are talking about in this context is about heartfelt pain, not from the actual heart vehicle, but from the sense of loss. Now, we've established long ago that when we do not express and are unable to express the impact, the energetic impact of an event and swallow it, it becomes energy that we hold on to that begins to compromise our vibration. The more we do that, the more is stored, and the more comes out when it gets triggered. This explosion of emotion that has been held is what people refer to as pain. Now, typically when that pain comes out, quote-unquote, you're getting symptomologies of things going on in the body. There may be actual discomfort within the body. Most often it's sensation. Most often it's numbness. Most often it's some kind of feelable, on a sense level, compromise that occurs, some activity in a place where typically it's numbed out or we pay no attention to. As the emotion moves through us, it will have a visceral impact. That is what emotion does. Emotion moves through the cells like a wave, and each emotion has its own frequency and components and location and its way of expressing. When I feel those things, I don't want to feel those things if I am in that position, and I call it pain. So I do not want to re-experience the pain of that which I've already experienced. The sad thing is that all I've done is stuff it even more so something else will be required, because the body is designed to clear and release. It is a design that keeps giving and blessing us to get clear. The longer we hold on it, the stronger the explosion can become. And then it's always moving. The lower the vibration, it's moving toward the physical. So if it's going to take a condition for somebody to wake up, so be it. Otherwise, we can do it differently. And we'll see that as we create relationship with ourself and our energetic bodies, we begin to realize that there are a lot of different ways to do this, and then not be frightened by what we're labeling as the pain of relationship. If tears and the release of that and the sadness and the sensations that go along with it are a vehicle to create clarity and clearing to allow us to be in a higher vibration so that we can see the higher vibration relationship that is standing there all the time, wouldn't we want to go for that? Wouldn't we want to be open to that? So the invitation here is to stop being afraid of the pain of releasing the old energies and stop equating it to the pain that is on a physical level, like a broken bone or a compromised organ. Just a suggestion. That which is before you is the primary teacher in this now moment of you. Ignore it, run away from it, and you will simply get a new version of the same frequency in a different package. Rebound relationships between humans are a sure recipe for a disaster, or at least for a more pronounced opportunity to look at the hooks or the places where we have energetic issues re-stimulated. It's standard fare in relationship world to hop from one place to the next. And when something falls apart, rather than to feel it and let the energy clear itself and have that tender process that demands and clears elements within us, demands much of us, we go ahead and replace it with the thrill of a new relationship. And it may be the one that makes all the difference and everything turns out great and you know, the Hollywood credits roll as the music swells. That's all possible. More often than not, it results in us just getting more of the same. And as soon as the newness wears off, the old routines and the wounds that are there will begin to show themselves again, quickly finding fault with a partner and blaming instead of having the awareness to take responsibility for it. It is a process that continues over and over. So it's worth reconsidering if indeed we're talking human relationship. Now, do know that this can also be in the process of moving away or leaving an area where vibrationally you're connected and then you're having to go away through circumstance. There's a visceral loss to that and a visceral separation and a pulling of cords and energy that feels very much like the quote-unquote loss of a human relationship with someone. Like I said, relationship is not confined to human-to-human form. A relationship creates an energetic ball between the parties. This ball contains the sum of the experiences between the two. To change the nature of the relationship, one or both parties must do something to separate from the ball of energy that defines the patterns of the relationship, and in parentheses, often unconscious elements until they create challenge. In other words, the experiences or what's behind it is unconscious until something in the body says, pay attention, and then it reveals itself. And again, it's not worth going that long to wait for something to manifest, because the physical is bound by time and space, and it will take time and space for that to clear, if it clears at all, if it's not too late, as they say. This will allow the relationship to reset with fresh potential. Now, hear that. If indeed there is a ball of energy that is created, built, sustained by the patterns and the beliefs about the relationship, because too often when people come together, they start to get into a routine of how they are around one another. This is what I'm talking about. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying it becomes almost an immovable force that has people just doing things just out of habit. And it's that ball of energy. It's like you come into one another's presence and you plug in your cord and there you go. And that serves the nurturing elements, and it also serves the ones that are the places of conflict. It only takes one of the two or three, however many there are, to make a change in the ball of energy so that the other is impacted by that and then has that opportunity to reset, as I said. I like the way that was said, to reset with fresh potential. If you don't like what's happening in relationship, then change that energetic form and start doing something different to give both parties the opportunity to open their eyes because of the demand of the new energy to at least entertain the possibility of acting differently, stepping off the routine that are the challenges of the relationship. Next point, too often relationships are sustained by the past and thus produce the same old result. Woundings and fears and beliefs and subsequent patterns combine to produce the familiar. Many long-standing relationships are held together by a less than ideal comfort zone. This limiting zone gives us the illusion that it works. Typically, this keeps a relationship from expanding at all. Personal clearing of the energy of the past wounding frees up to experiencing new, higher frequency forms of connection. This is classic stuff. Most humans live in the past, in the woundings of the past, and applying it to the now, and then being afraid of the future, playing the what-if game, typically thinking that things aren't going to work out in their favor. The woundings are so deep. The woundings are so much a part of the entire culture and the entire fabric of humanity that it's hard to think this is not who we are. Well, it's not who we are. They're all learned behaviors. When the true design begins to reveal itself, we begin to see all this stuff just being sloughed off, very much like the dog getting out of water. It's becoming that simple. Here's the catch. Once I shake the energy off, I have to take action to do something different. Otherwise, the form finds itself back there. This is pretty critical. It's a very, very powerful element that says you have to take a step in good faith before you can get the new energy coming in. There you go. We have been taught to believe that relationships of value must be long-lasting, long-lasting. Institutions based on now lost reasoning are used to focus belief systems and keep a connection forced together long after it has lost its energetic and expansive value. And we start to look at why, you know, institutions like marriage and some of the institutions that seem to be just the way life is, and there's good reason for it. Often those were based on social conditions where you needed people to be in, you know, to procreate and have children and make sure that families were big so there'd be a workforce. It was about sustaining the culture. And so it isn't a far stretch to begin to fabricate it's because when you connect with someone, it's forever. Well, look at the depth of the wounding that any two, quote-unquote, normal people would bring to a relationship and start to think, how can you begin to project and predict that that will be forever? And then people get caught in the pressure of making sure that happened, feeling like they fail if they realize they don't want to be there. Well, sure, there's plenty of reasons to things to look at when one starts to think they don't belong there. Sure, there are personal triggerings and their own woundings and issues because the nature of the relationship is to show us ourselves. Those things start to show up. I'm not saying it's one or the other. To have the big picture is to be basically be able to have a conscious choice and a clear choice about what to do. And by no means acting unilaterally is the best way to do it. Communication is a critical element of any kind of relationship. But not everybody's willing to communicate. And not everybody's willing to step out of the discomfort. Again, the seduction of the comfort zone is so profound in a negative way that it's hard to extricate oneself from the illusion of feeling okay. Why does an abused child go back to the abuser and love them and say that they're okay and then never take responsibility? It's because, you know, in a sense, that energy of connection is so important that we're willing to compromise our own self over and over and over again for the illusion of feeling safe. Real safety is an inside job that begins to show itself in the outside world based on frequency. There's a lot going on here. Because relationships are a reflection of the parties involved, personal awareness, work, and change must accompany the evolving relationship. One-sided work only vibrationally moves the other out of the frequency of connection. Settling is often a giving up on self, most likely out of fear from past experiences still retained in the tissues. So hear what I'm saying here. You hear often, and perhaps you've experienced growing out of a relationship with someone because you're on your spiritual path or you're on your personal path that brings you great joy, and they want nothing to do with it. That's like two you know, train tracks that are only apart by, you know, the angle is only like 1 centimeter off at the beginning. And if you follow the straight line, it won't be long before they're, you know, much farther apart and eventually unable to connect. My grandparents in that generation, for all those reasons, they stuck together no matter what. And we look back and we go, oh, the Diamond Jubilee and all these names we give these relationships that lasted forever, 75 years in some cases, to my grandparents. They were miserable. They couldn't stand one another, but they really had no choice. What kind of life is that? I don't know, but I looked in my grandfather's eyes before he died, even though when my grandmother died, he was gone in 2 weeks, and there was nothing wrong with him. He just decided, and he felt, I guess he believed, that he couldn't live without her. And that was even before Barry Manilow or whoever that was made that song. It's curious how beliefs form the realities And it's obvious how beliefs form realities. And it also shows how changing beliefs can change the reality. Next point, people not in a strong relationship often feel and dwell in being alone. The loneliness perpetuates the movement of the woundings that are seeking to be released. Too many get caught in wallowing in self-pity rather than using the experience as the catalyst for release and change. We're taught that in life you're supposed to have these relationships, and we're supposed to be married, we're supposed to be in a male-female relationship, we're supposed to have this thing and this and this and this. And when we don't, there's a part of us that buys into the idea that we are flawed, because that's there anyway. The establishment creates these sort of floating norms that we find ourselves attracted to because there's a tendency to want to fit in. And really, it's all about us being valued. When we don't value ourselves, we put too much emphasis on being valued from the outside. If the outside has been programmed to devalue, then we got a problem. If the outside has been shown to be an ever-changing, ever-oscillating new form on a regular basis, like the fashion world, then we have a challenge in terms of fitting in and how to make that work. So when we begin to see that the way it's supposed to be is not the way it's supposed to be, or it's not the way it is, we start to step off these treadmills of behavior. Loneliness is an existential issue. You know, there's talk about, you know, we come in alone and we leave alone. Well, we don't really come in alone. You know, once we pop out of, you know, the mother's womb, we're on our own, that's for sure. But we didn't arrive in this planet alone. We were in the perfect home. And when we leave, yeah, that's a lonesome thing because most people aren't aware. So the process of befriending our loneliness allows us, really, it's a perfect tool for us to return home to ourselves. Most people don't like what they see when they start to turn inward because there's so much debris that starts to activate and release. And that's when it gets too painful. And I'm sorry if I'm mocking that, but I've had years of it. And I just want to be done with it, and I, for most part, am done with it. Having said that, you know, stuff pops up. Hello again. Let's move on. Vulnerability has a bad name because it implies weakness. On the contrary, the true nature of the world is about being open and transparent and willing to be authentic, honest, and willing to create solution. Vulnerability in a relationship creates an air of safety. We're talking here about characteristics of conscious relationship. Vulnerability means sharing, owning one's own awareness, communicating that, feeling, sharing the feelings if possible, witnessing the other, feeling connected enough to be willing to be a support for the other person, feeling connected enough to really be willing and able to ask for what we want for ourselves, even if it runs counter to what the established element is in the relationship. Vulnerability is just really honestly speaking our truth in our moments and being willing to stand in whatever fire or whatever celebration comes out of it. Mainly because we care enough about ourselves and value ourselves so much that we don't want to keep anything like that in. Safety is a direct result of past experiences, beliefs, and treasured patterns that serve to build walls around one's willingness to move beyond the house of cards they have built to survive. Love that sentence. This is a false safety that only restricts. One must venture outside of the walls to grow and see the bigger life. We pad ourselves in a place, in a cocoon of supposed safety. Sure, it might add that and keep us from actually feeling all the debris that's inside of us, and it may give us the illusion that all is well on the outside because no new energy is attracted to that. But look at the cost. Look at the cost of pushing away the world. Look at the cost of creating and forcing separation to happen because you don't want to feel. There's not a feeling I've ever had, and I've had some intense ones, I'll tell you, that was so overwhelming. The body is designed to release only that which it is ready to release, and a little bit more, just to push the envelope. But it's not going to overwhelm us. That's just not the design. Relationships are often the place where power struggles occur. One is more controlling, verbal, stronger, more manipulative, and they use these elements to lord over the other, creating a dynamic that severely restricts both, forcing them to run their games on one another. A bully needs someone to bully. A fearful one needs someone to be afraid of. In relationships of equal power, both parties are served and thrive. So when you find yourself in these impossible situations, begin to look at the big picture. What is it that you are doing to contribute to the form that is in place? This is not an easy thing to do. And sometimes it's an admission of failure. But what's failure? It's just making a mistake and not having all the information and then acting as if it's real. None of these things that we are afraid of are worth being afraid of. But that's what we were taught. And the culture perpetuates these elements that demean us into subservience to these elements. People in relationship need balance. Time to recharge themselves, often away from the other. The ideal relationships in this perspective, and also in my opinion, allow space for just that. Controlling partners will squeeze the life out of the other, only pushing them away from any desire to be present. You've seen relationships where someone is so controlled that they left their body long ago. It's like the Stepford Wives, but they aren't even showing up in the capacity to serve the master. They're literally just vacant. And that's men and women. We're not talking about men over women or women over men. It's both. I would say predominantly it's men doing their shtick. But there are a lot of wounded women who are also being very controlling and very powerful. And if you start looking at sexuality, you begin to see how easy it is to control a man through sexuality. Relationships are best if allowed to be mutually empowering. Supporting both parties in doing that which serves their inner being and that which encourages them to be in their wholeness. You start to look at the controlling nature of relationships in terms of the paradigm that was taught. The worst possible one is the idea of soulmate, to be honest. The one where there is the one perfect being and all of the souls in the cosmos who is able to come in and then the music swells and everything is happy ever after. Woohoo! Yay! Lovely. But what begins to happen is soon we begin to realize that it really doesn't serve us because there are compromises we must make to stay in that kind of a thing. And then what if, God forbid, one of the parties goes outside and gets run over by the mail truck or whatever? Then what? Then where is your well-being? When we give our own power to someone else to fix our inner being, we're in trouble. Because we're inviting ourselves, most of all, to give up on ourselves and to wait and wait and wait for something to happen. It's not going to come because energetically what we're asking for is isolation and loss. The universe is bound by law to give us what we put the energy into. This is no secret, and the sooner we realize it and begin to pay attention to that, the better our lives will be in terms of being lighter and happier, quite honestly. By witnessing another and sincerely affirming their beauty and magnificence, one can go far in activating the inner healing power of the other. Hear what I'm saying. Healing, as we shall see in a couple sessions, is about witnessing another back into wholeness in terms of activating their own capacity to self-heal. That's where miracles occur. It's not because of some drug, 99.9% of the time, nor is it from some modality. Whatever it is that will activate the inner awareness to say, I want to be back to the form that I am, then amen for that. But to witness someone and to celebrate their being honestly and authentically is to provide the foundation and the grounds for healing. Of course, you're also running up against that person's own personal prejudices and belief systems about their own physical elements, etc., etc. There's a lot going on. But you can go far in being a healing conduit by just staying firm to witness that which is true about the person. And we're just talking generic stuff here. We're not necessarily talking about specific elements. Self-care for each party is foundational for a healthy relationship. Branded as selfish in the past, this conscious choice actually serves to sustain the individual, to allow them to have the best of themselves in each moment. This allows for limited hooking into the other's patterns, codependence, or manipulation. Taking care of self allows for one to be in unconditional love, which is not taking on the other's issues, but rather witnessing them to reach deeper to find their own solution. You know, when you were a little kid and you were trying to figure out something, and then some well-meaning, quote-unquote, adult came in and said, here, let me show you how it's done, and then you felt like crap on the other side of it, kind of self-defeated. But when you struggled through to find solution, yeah! So all of that happens. And all of it has impact. Relationships transcend time and space, being felt on many levels and over great distances. The energetic connection is available 24/7 to those who are open and aware. Just putting that out there. Everybody talks about, you know, somebody that has to go away or whatever. There are a whole lot of ways to be in connection on an energetic level that are equally sustaining than being in the physical presence, if both parties are consciously invested in doing that. Love is the ultimate expression of any relationship, self-love as well as expressed love. They are the perfect vehicle in which to enter the higher frequencies of big love so that the spiritual elements can infuse the experience. Sadly, love is used and abused and coerced in a bastardization of its true frequency. And this is the fault of the Piscean model. What is unfolding is a sweeping energy of the greater love that will replace this compromised frequency. Love is used and abused and has been all but tossed away. And every person has got their own perspective on what that means. And this gets into those elements called the love languages, about what I perceive as love and what you perceive as love. And too often we have no clue. So we treat one another with the idea that we're loving them and feel really good about it, and they're not even picking up that that's love at all. They want it to be in this form. And if you don't know that, how are you going to find the middle ground? Or how are you going to be able to show up for them in that way? People, you know, walk away and turn away from one another all the time because they weren't willing to find a common ground. Sex is a deep and profound expression of mutual respect and the cosmic love. Sadly, it too has been reduced to a shell of its potential. It has become a manipulative tool that hurts and abuses and disempowers through controlling intentions. I'm not saying that as a blanket statement. Some of it has. All of this is culturally fed and sustained by the unprocessed woundings held in tissues and cells. Sexual energy is also a second chakra frequency. Having a couple divert the energy into joyful activity, creativity, experience, spirited conversation can seriously help to channel the energy in ways that do not harm or compromise another. The pressure to direct energetic connection between two, like frequency of individuals, into sexual expression has a tragic undertone, often resulting in a truly important and potentially expansive connection to get used up energetically, only to be discarded prematurely. That's a lot of words to say that sometimes people think that any kind of connection they feel, and that's a classic word, oh, I feel like I got a connection with you. Well, what are you talking about? In the culture as it exists, that means that you want to have sex too often if it's between two consenting individuals, whatever. You know what I'm saying. When that energy starts to show itself, that seems to be the avenue it needs to go down. But to walk into the forest and to do other things, or to walk out of the forest, actually, that's more likely, is to be able to open up to the use of that energy, that energy of the second chakra, in other ways that give time for perhaps a sexual relationship to develop. Yeah. Clear communication between partners is foundational and essential to a conscious relationship. Each party deserves to be heard and witnessed. The unexpressed is the most prominent cause of relationships failing. A conscious relationship celebrates both parties and calls for mutual and collective evolution. Reawakening together is a profound experience that births moments of cosmic delight. Interrupting the other is deadly. Reflective listening as controlling. I'm a little confused by what I said. Reawakening together is a profound experience at birth, moment of cosmic delight. Interrupting the other is deadly. I'm going to need to look at that. Reflective listening, as controlling as it may sound, is a powerful tool. One's tone of voice is a critical element that is often primary over the words spoken in impact. Sharing each other's experience of the same thing can be revealing and uniting. Knowing the other's love language is a vital tool in creating a mutually serving experience that is solid in love. The heart center is the focal point of conscious relationship. Running everything through here raises the vibration to allow it to reflect and invite in the highest. Love is all there is. And I believe what this last statement has been cut off says, most of these elements of conscious relationship address human relationship. But as we shall see, they apply to a whole host of other types of relationship. Most of the elements, when you talk about physical union and sexuality and stuff, that's probably not going to happen between you and a stone. But nevertheless, we all have our fetishes. I'm just saying that most of these elements are things that connect and can be applied toward relationship with anything. That was a lot of information. And this one has a lot of information too. So let's very quickly begin to look at the Piscean and purging the Piscean and embracing the Aquarian elements. And the reason I'm even dealing with this, even though we've put some of these elements out and talked about them already, is because they're so insidious and they've been put into us and we still have it in the tissues and cells. So to be reminded multiple times is useful. And then to lay out even additional possibilities of the way the new energies are showing up. I'm just going to go right into some of the Piscean tenets. One needs a partner to complete them since we are all limited beings. There are certain ever-changing characteristics that will make you desirable so you can get the perfect partner. These are Piscean elements. The woundings and abuses and experiences we carry will doom us to repeating the same over and over. They are who we are. And then I said, your elusive soulmate will complete you and allow you to live happily ever after. Most people view relationships as something that comes from the outside to fix and to make everything better. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it happens for a while. Sometimes it happens for a long time. But I really don't see evidence showing that it lasts forever like we yearn for. At least those wounded parts of us yearn for. Some people are more fortunate and desirable and will get the best relationships. You see that every day. You see it as the parade of Hollywood stars or the beautiful people, whoever or whatever they are, the person du jour. The person du jour who is there expressing, you know, the current best potential. You see it all fall apart. So relationships are based on power, money, stuff, and attractability. Again, this in the Piscean model. Unless you are in relationship with another human, there is something wrong with you. Once you are in relationship, it is supposed to be forever. Loss means failure. How many of us blame ourselves? And how many of us feel that, why even try? Because it's not ever going to work out. That's called giving up on oneself. Blame is a major part of people in relationship. Somebody did something to the other. You can only have one relationship at a time, especially between members of the opposite sex. One person is supposed to provide you with everything. Certain kinds of relationships are better and more preferred than others. Relationships with other kingdoms are mocked and shamed and called demonic. The relationship with God needs an intermediary. Infidelity is fine, Where did I shifted my page. Infidelity is fine and expected for men, but a shameful and adulterous experience for a woman. Definitely double standards on that all through history. Sex is shameful and necessary only for procreation. Certain kinds of experiences we just do not talk about. You must be married to be in the best situation. Marrying too late, especially for women, is frowned upon and shameful. She must be desirable. She must be undesirable, I mean. Having a relationship with self is being selfish or ego-based. Others' well-being is a priority for you. Again, this is all the Piscean model, what we grew up with, what was a part of our lives. Others' well-being is a priority. The man is the ruler of the house. They don't have to talk or explain themselves. They take care of the business. Abuse is okay. Women are emotional and therefore weak. That should be W-E-A-K. A man must take care of them. She is at the whim and demand of the man. Marriage can be a convenience or a tool for power. Sex is a powerful tool of manipulation for both men and women, a means to an end. In marriage, the woman must be available to the man whenever he demands it. Again, the Piscean model. Sex is performance. Your looks are everything. Men age gracefully while women get old and must do everything to look younger. Communication is a tool for control. Emotions are either bad or good. There is no in between. Relationships and sex are two different things. For men, it is about numbers. For women, it's about desirability. Where's the love? The entertainment and arts perpetuate the relationship stereotypes. We learn about love through music and movies and books. Most often, they are pain-filled and usually end up in loss and hurt. Lasting relationship is a Disney fairy tale. You get the picture. And this is such a prevalent part of the energetic debris and beliefs that most of us carry. So let's look at the alternative and the unfolding energies of these times, as we've already looked at, but let's look at some of them again, just to get them into our awareness. Relationships are a primary tool for the source to experience itself. Free will opens a door to the infinite panorama of possibility. You are God expressing, and this is how that essence, that source frequency, experiences the infinite panorama of possibility. It gets to know itself through us living out through the land of free choice. I mean, that's a hard one to quickly explain, but it's worth looking at. Relationship is a primary tool for checking where we are vibrationally. The outer reflects the inner. One can use the kind of attractions it manifests to determine which elements need attention and adjustment. That is a conscious person doing that. They can see what comes into their life and go, whoa, I need to look at something here in me. Relationships are a tool to trigger, allow, and support the release of the energetic woundings contained in cell and tissue. One is in relationship with all of life, not just your partner, not just human. Being in the presence of any form of being creates the opportunity for relationship. Wow. Relationship serves both parties mutually by creating opportunity for greater awareness and adjustment and clearing. No matter the form, we are never alone. The multidimensional support team of angels, etheric teachers, guides, and teachers are ever present and available by call. All relationships are heart-based and are invited in to grow the heart chakra awareness and expansion. Love is the primary source for a relationship. Our capacity to love is honed through relationship. The relationship with self is of primary importance and must be maintained and cleared in order to be in relationship with others. What? Yes. Although we may be in primary relationship, there are many others who can be supportive of that and serve to get all of our needs met. It is necessary to treat all relationships with honor, respect, compassion, and empathy. That is what's required of us. Being grateful expands the depth of any experience. Source love is present in all connections. Hear that. Every connection is holy. Every connection has the frequency of the I am and is infused by love. We are lovable, loving, and loved. There are no exceptions. Self-care can create the space where we can let others be who they are and still be nurtured within by our own infinite supply. Emotions and their flow of expression are essential elements to life in this earthly dimension. Thus, they are to be honored, experienced fully, and expressed without hesitation. Love is a perfect salve for any issues between beings. Any ending in a relationship will open the door to something better or of higher vibration that is more in alignment with the frequency of I am expressing as me. Relationships that never end are held in place by lower frequency cords that require cutting. Conscious relationships are cooperative, communicative, loving, respectful, authentic, supportive, compassionate, nurturing, healing, joyful, elevating, grateful, spirited, expansive, playful, life-affirming, childlike, tender, passionate, sensual, juicy, and oh so much more. We create relationship with whatever we focus on. That moment opens a door to an expansive experience that reveals itself through the attention and the subsequent interaction. This is a very, very important element. Whatever we focus on, we establish a relationship with it, however temporary, however deep, or however superficial. All relationships that we have ever engaged in all of our incarnations are available in the now to re-experience, heal, draw from, and celebrate. A bit out there, but worth looking at. We might look at that when we look into oneness. Our intentions are powerful magnets for relationship. Maintaining a relationship requires clearing energies in the now and just beyond. Washing them with the past is a sure way to diminish their light. Each relationship is born anew in the now if we let it and move forward in that knowing. Our moments of living are filled with the infinite potential of countless relationships maintained and experienced on all levels. Our interconnectedness is that profound. Consciously connecting at the heart level is a loving act that empowers us beyond our current knowing. Sexual connecting is a divine experience that reveals the depth of the power of union, showing us the cosmic blueprint for that fully conscious moment. And the unfolding oneness is revealing that the relationship with the whole contains all the permutations that bring life to our moments. These last five statements are, they're huge. They are huge. Obviously, the way the class is going tonight, it's just a barrage of information. I really implore you to go back and read through all of these pieces, multiple times, because there's so much in them that is being passed on. We're going to move very quickly now into conscious relationship with energy bodies. Everything is important here, in my opinion. So I invite you to stay with me. Relationship is based on awareness that is fed by attention, focus, and intention. Fed by attention, focus, and intention. Wherever and whenever we use this, we are creating relationship. Until now, most have been unaware of the true and dynamic design of our energetic self and just how much capacity we have to communicate with and influence the functioning and form of the whole design. Our attention starts with the physical because through the Piscean Age we have been saturated with the limited thinking that has resulted in compromise of this magnificent and amazing design. The physical is a visible screen display of our inner intimate world of thought and history. By paying attention to and creating relationship with the physical, we can start to cleanse and heal and empower and activate the true design that will impact the whole self and all the energetic bodies. So you'll begin to see with the sequence of how I'm doing this, we went right to the body, went to the physical, because it's such a profound impact in our current state, in our current form of things. It is so profound that it's necessary to start there, even before we look at and get into working with what's considered the higher self or the other elements. And from there, once established, the relationships are established, we can move out and expand into all that is available for us. So please understand, there's a method to this flow here, whether I see it or not. When you focus, you bring energy. The area response and relationship is ignited. What has truly been lost is our fluid capacity to communicate with our physical organism. It is the perfect machine to house our journey. It is ultra-responsive to our thoughts and words and actions. It is self-healing and self-maintaining when we allow and affirm and support it. It communicates with us on multiple levels and does so incessantly. Most of this is not made aware to the conscious self, and it is not really necessary for it to do its designed job. Conscious connection and support, however, can launch a sweeping relationship that will heal the minutest compromise by aligning vibration and frequency to the nuance of the I am that I am expressing as me. I was on fire when I started doing this, and by on fire, I was just buzzing as all these things started to show up here in this form. So I've never reread them or anything. I have no idea what's going on here, but it really has information to me, and I hope so to you. The invitation is to take the leap and begin to explore communication with the cells, the tissues, the organs, the systems, the senses, and doing so will reveal. Reveal the ease with which the design can support your being. Learning to direct the cells to clean and clear and nourish areas of need is a self-sustaining tool that allows you to devote more of your resources to the fulfillment of living in this dimension. Enjoying the moments because you are not distracted by physical issues frees up the inner child self to dance through your moments. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The more we consciously begin to reinforce and support the cellular activity within us by attention and focus, the more the system responds and does its job, which in turn shows up as increased health, increased well-being, all of those elements that then allows us to experience life in fullness as opposed to limited doses. Being grateful and communicative with the organs and systems and beyond nourishes them to be even more functional to you. This in turn opens the door to information and direction sent to your conscious self to assist you in making changes, of course, as necessary. Okay. The machine keeps purring and you are free to be. As we've established before, the DNA evolution of the return of the 12-strand design is an ongoing process that begs for interactive relationship. You can become proficient in directing the flow, accessing the inner and outer dimensions, deepening your relationship with the earth, dissolving the barriers of time and space, and accessing past and future lives to seed the moment with understanding and new skills and talents. Are you hearing me on this? Actively influencing body rhythms and brainwave activity will allow you to regulate the flow of your moment-by-moment experience, easing you into deeper recesses of consciousness and beyond. This all begins with opening the door to the relationship that is already programmed to open at your focused call. Attention and communication will strengthen it to blossom to the specific forms that your being requires. Do you hear? It's in the design of all of us for this to happen, but it needed to be had attention brought to it to activate it. And then when it activates, it is as unique as you are, because it comes to you in the way that is most needed to bring you the essence of yourself back to the forefront. You can easily see that this kind of open relationship active, there is little concern for health issues that would in any way compromise the physical machine. Your full attention returns to maintaining the flow and expanding your experience of the all that is in your own unique way, which honestly is all that the source asks of you. Beyond the physical lie the successive energy bodies that intersect with the chakras, internal and external, to interface you to the wholeness of the cosmos. The structure is already there. Your willingness to establish the conscious relationship starts the interchange of I am. Again, awareness, intending the awareness via focus, attention, and intent will establish a two-way relationship that will feed itself into expansion. Diverting your inexhaustible inner resources to this task is a breeze once you say yes to the design. The field is self-cleansing, automatically shifting off any lower frequency energies you may wander into. It keeps the backside chakra conduits open to allow the free influx of infinite ideas, emotions, understanding, childlike joy, and the cosmic wisdom itself. Prior to these times, this was only available to individuals who had proven their energetic worthiness through intense and sustained work, most often on the other side of passing between dimensional veils. The collective efforts of many, many souls, seen and unseen, has brought upon the frequencies that can sustain the intensity of these vibrations to allow us to bring the cosmic to the day-to-day life of you and me. Please reread these things. They are so critical in waking up these elements within ourselves. According to this, we're just on the dawn. We're in the midst of the reawakening of something that is so profound. Whew. Opening to and sustaining this relationship with the energy bodies will support the capacity to monitor external spiritual points that bring in decidedly cosmic frequencies of high information that will reveal more of the big picture to you. It is absolutely necessary to breathe in and out the flow that is arriving. Once opened, it can become a wave, a wash of high-powered vibration that can kick you into the stars, but you are already equipped to handle it by your design. Thus, the sequence of information that has followed this Tools for the Times course. Thus, the sequence. Okay. Each bit has caused a shift, whether you knew it or not, applied it or not. Self-care is essential to sustain your visceral machine, to embrace the new frequencies and deliver the goods for your conscious use. You are learning to flow with the ever-oscillating waves of cosmic energy brought forth by the source and your own I am that I am as you. Embrace this opportunity to be the perfect and unique expression of the wholeness that only you get to experience, and it unfolds simultaneously, riding the waves of your response to the now. Keys to the Kingdom. Please reread that. And if you think it's bull, it's bull. I don't think it is. I think there's more. We're going to finish off with the conscious relationship with self, because it's a great place to bring that ending to. And we'll start with others and the nature and then the etheric beings, etc., next week. You are the only one who will ever be you. The unique frequency expression of the cosmic source, infused with the perfect vibration to achieve the impossible through the application of the infinite, available only to you in that form. Do you want that? If so, you must turn inward and activate the profound relationship with self. No hesitation or diversion is possible once you say yes. Like being swept into the vortex, it will toss and turn you in an energetic wash to deliver you to the ideal point of awareness and power in an instant. You will be baptized in the holiest of I am-ness. You have been taught to hesitate and divert your energy from celebrating self and claiming its magnificence. Your esteem has been compromised and devalued to cause you to avert your gaze on your illumined self and become blinded by your own light, to succumb to the pressure that is only there to keep you from knowing your truth until now. Your higher self is a direct link, the actualization of the source. There is no difference in available power and capacity to thrive. A chip off the old infinite block you are. You have been redirected through this energy of these times to turn and activate the relationship with you, far beyond and in direct contrast to the programming and manipulation and misinformation you have been force-fed for countless lives. This is the moment your new life begins. It is no accident that the idea of ascension and oneness have surfaced into the consciousness of the common man. It is simply time to lay down the burdens of forced ignorance and say yes to you. The heart center is blowing off the dust of your experience and reawakening the very cells of attraction that will bring to you the vibrations that will feed you on all levels. All you must do is turn and face it with open arms and let it wash over and through you. The willingness is the prompter that will provide the cord that downloads the unique instruction set for the now and the times to come that are yours alone. As if nothing else matters, you will be invited and ushered and encouraged and pushed to run down that road and scream yourself into full fruition. This is the relationship you seek and have always sought, delivered to you with a loving hand. And opening to and allowing this relationship with the energetic bodies, the vibration turns to the human essence of you to strip away the misinformation and misguidance that poisons the cells. Your ego is re-educated to learn and accept its rightful place at your inner side and be the regulator of the infinite possibilities that shall be made known in each breath. Your left brain and right brain versions of you will be redirected to their wholeness so that the unification that bridges the corpus callosum is uninterrupted, giving you the whole of you in each moment that falls into your lap. The holy self will activate the energetic flow that seeds the small self and reawakens the self-love that has been dormant. This, in turn, will unblock the channels of connection that unify the emotions, the cellular knowing, the DNA with the truth of your being. Your awakening is a necessary step in the cosmic plan. You have prepared for this for eons. You have yearned for this moment, wishing and hoping for its manifestation long before you were even remotely able to absorb and withstand its frequencies. It is the manifestation of the I am and the flesh far beyond the masters of old, because this is the conscious choice to access the unknown without hesitation. You have been prepared for it by this course. You know it. The past nips at your heels and barks to pull you back to safety of that damn comfort zone. Your resistance would be a personal slap in the face of your I am self and admitting that you choose to continue to believe in the opium of limitation that still smokes your moments in a confusing wash. But you know that you are oh so much more. Your personal mantra is, how does it get better than this? Well, the moment is here to find out. Breathe in and just let go. Yes, it sure seems like nothing happened. But deep in the infinite recesses of your multidimensional self, the energies are moving and reawakening and rearranging, kicking out the toxic and ancient squatters, pushing out the remnants of so many times of giving up, of believing the hogwash, of turning away while the yearning ate at your precious and tender soul. A chorus of no more sounds like a haunting call from the sirens on the rocks that were unnavigatable, or so it seems. Listen to the sound of you as you awaken. It really is a gentle experience, this waking up. The old warehouse down the street hasn't been seen light for the longest time, but there is the switch anyway, and the power is still on. Of course it is. Flick it and see the result. Systems wake up to their essential design. Cells shake themselves of the misinformation, shouting, I never believed that shit. Honest. Of course your higher self, sis. That ever loyal one you have been, thank you for holding space and keeping the smoke screen alive till we got here. Breathe in the light. And allow the reunion of selves. All the pieces unified into conscious knowing that transcends eternity. The oscillations of remembering are rumbling in the depths and are ramping up to give you back yourself. It is a good day to die to the old ways. Today is the first day of your life, as they say. You betcha. Boy, I love it. I love it. The power of the cleansing, the power of awareness and information. It opens a door and it cleanses, it sweeps out the cobwebs. It drops us into the moment and says, here you go. I don't know why this became important, but now I kind of feel like I know why. This is so much about me and this whole course and about me figuring out who I am and having the privilege of sharing it with, humans on the other side of the phone. makes such a huge difference to you know, me showing up to it. To have to deliver it and to stand in all the forms of it is such a privilege. It's hard and it's revealing, and I crave it. There's something about this. Something dropped in here and really is pushing hard for us to just, you know, to stop doing what we're doing, the old ways. It's like there's just no choice anymore. There's just no choice. You've chosen to be a part of a process here, and that was no accident, obviously. And whatever you've been hesitating to do, whatever you've been hesitating to claim, it has to stop now. Because there's too much invested in you by yourself and by the cosmos for you to turn your back ever again. And relationship is the proving ground for how we show up in life, and it shows where we are in the moment. As we begin to look in the next section on others, we look at our relationship with others, with nature, the etheric beings and dimensions, the oneness soup. We look at how we can care and feed these relationships, and then we put them into action. You got what you needed tonight. You got all the information that's needed to do its work. So, you know, let it go for the rest of the night and let it do its work while you sleep. And then somewhere during the week, read all these things. Read them all through. You don't even have to listen, but read them and get it into your own being and see what's there and let the words that you read become the tools to open. We're in potent times. We're in potent times. And I don't know how to stop here. I don't know. I just got to say that we've reached a point, and I apologize for going over, but that seemed important. So I will get the call into place by the morning. I will send you the list of the all of the elements, the way we'll approach them for the rest of this block. And I just think I'm ready to hang up and just sit in all this stuff that's moving within me. And I'm very, very grateful, and I wish you a beautiful, it's going to be 2 weeks. That's perfect, because you will actually have a lot of information to read through. That is actually perfect. So thank you for your blessing, if indeed it's there for me to go and witness my daughter doing something that's very, very important to her. Thank you for that. So, many blessings, and thank you again. Good night.